All right. Good morning again, everyone. We want to thank everyone again for such enthusiastic involvement this morning in the networking breakfast. We're going to get started here in a couple minutes with our keynote speaker for the morning, so we'll ask that you wrap up any conversations. Everyone's welcome to stay for the keynote, but if you'd like to continue your conversations, please take it outside the main room. In a moment, I'm going to introduce Brianna Blazer, who's going to deliver our keynote address this morning. But first, I'd like to introduce Brock Schweitzer, who is a postdoc here at Vandy, along with myself. We're both involved in the Postdoctoral Association, and he's going to tell us a little bit more about the National Postdoc Association activities for later this afternoon.
Morning, everybody. This afternoon, the NPA, the National Postdoc Association, will be hosting a luncheon in the Medical Student Lounge, which is on the third floor in Light Hall. The workshop sessions will be in like the second floor and the fourth floor. And during that lunch, there will be an overview of what the NPA is, what it does, and how it helps current postdocs and future postdocs. And we also have a couple of board of directors that are actually current postdocs here at Vanderbilt and at St. Jude. Dr. Lorraine Tracy is the vice chair of the board of directors, and she'll be here to field any questions that anyone has about the National Postdoc Association. And Dr. Anthony Baucom will give an overview of actually what the National Postdoc Association is. And then immediately following lunch, we're going to have a breakout session in fourth floor classrooms. I think it's 417, 412. You have to check your schedule for that. And in those sessions, it's going to be very informal, attendee-driven. There's going to be three objectives. One, it's going to give everyone an opportunity to kind of synthesize everything they've learned over the last day and a half. You couldn't attend all the sessions, but someone next to you may have, so you can just talk about what you learned, what you liked, some of these different career options. Second, if you're a graduate student looking to do a postdoc, there'll be a postdocs there to get a sounding board of what is to be a postdoc, how to get a postdoc, what are some tips about getting into a postdoc. And then third, for those current postdocs, some tips on how to proceed through a postdoc, how to flourish as a postdoc, and then also what the National Postdoc Association can do for you. So for those of you that are members of that are here at Vanderbilt, you're already an affiliate member of the National Postdoc Association. And then our guests from St. Jude and UAB are also affiliate members. So at the conclusion of the lunch, when we do this discussion, we'll do the talks for about 15 minutes a session, then we'll get back together and talk and give an overview of what everyone learned over those last 15 minutes. We'll do that for about an hour and a half, so we'll have a couple of combination summaries at each time. So with that, I hope you can attend, and I'll give it back to Jen.
Thanks, Brock. So I'm Jen Kanopka. I'm a postdoc here in my third year in Terry Dermody's lab in PEDS ID. I'm also the current senior co-chair of the Postdoc Association, and it's my pleasure to introduce Dr. Brianna Blazer, our keynote speaker for today's networking and professional skills sessions. Brianna is the project director for outreach at AAAS and Science Careers, where she organizes career and professional development workshops for graduate students, postdocs, and early career scientists. She regularly speaks to audiences about career development topics, including career options outside of research, job search skills, networking, and work-life balance. Brianna earned her bachelor's in mathematics and psychology from Carnegie Mellon University, followed by her PhD in women's studies at the University of Washington in 2008. While at the University of Washington, Brianna was a research assistant at the Center for Workforce Development, where she organized professional development activities for grad students in science and engineering. She's also held internships with the Association for Women in Science, as well as the National Institute for Standards and Technology. And then in 2008, she accepted her current position with Science Careers. Today, Brianna will talk to us about the importance of strategic networking, a skill set that's critical to all career paths in science, and certainly has been a unifying theme we've heard across all of yesterday's career presentations. So I'm sure we're all eager to hear what Brianna has to share about networking today. So with that, please join me in welcoming Dr. Brianna Blazer to Vanderbilt.
you for that introduction. That was very nice. So we're going to talk a little bit about networking. Before I get to that, though, I'm just going to tell you a little bit about who, I really have to stand here to be behind the mic. Okay, I'm going to not wander. About AAAS. So AAAS, if you don't know what it stands for, we're the American Association for the Advancement of Science. And one of the things I always like to say is, despite our name, we're actually an international organization. So our main office is in D.C. I'm based in the D.C. office. We also have an office in Cambridge in the U.K. Officially, our mission is about advancing science, engineering, and innovation throughout the world, which is a really obtuse kind of statement, I think. But what does that mean? We have people doing all kinds of things related to science. So people like me who are concerned about science workforce issues and science education issues, we do stuff related to science and human rights, science policy, science and international issues, science and ethics, science and religion. If you can think about it, there's somebody in our building doing it. What we're probably most famous for is our little-known journal, Science, right? Anybody ever heard of Science? So Science is our journal. We are a nonprofit, membership-based organization. What I think is most important, if you don't know about it already, and I did hear some speakers mention it yesterday, which I am grateful for, is our website, Science Careers. If you haven't been there, it's a really great resource. And I used it all the time before I worked for them, I promise. But there's every Friday about 3 new articles on different career development topics go up. And so they can be really nuts and bolts things, how to network, how to put your resume together, or they could be exploring different career options, which is something that we've done a lot of in the past day here. So a really valuable set of 4,000 to 5,000 articles there. It's a bit of a treasure trove. So if you're trying to find out more about a career, there's information there. There's also job ads on the website. There's a forum. So if you want to go post anonymous career-related questions, you can go post them there. We have a really dedicated group of volunteers that actually answers everybody's questions, and fairly quickly. I don't know when these people do their real jobs because they seem to be on the forum all the time. So just a few things there to check out. And then, as Jen said, I work with our Science Careers Outreach Program. So I travel going to universities giving talks like this. So if anybody is not at Vanderbilt but is at some other institution and would like to organize such professional development talks, come talk to me afterwards. The other thing I'll point out before I move on to the next slide, my slides are online. So if you see something fabulous written on the slide and you want to scribble it down, you can find them online. So I thought we'd start by, I'm going to ask you guys to talk to me a lot, too, because I think it's boring to just sit up here and listen to myself speak. So we're going to have a little bit more of a conversation. So I thought we'd start by talking a little bit about what we think about networking. And you should be thinking about this already, because you've just spent the last hour and a half networking. So who's in your network? If you have to think about the people in your network, who are you thinking about? You have no network. Okay.
Collaborators.
Somebody else said something.
Colleagues.
Colleagues, yeah, colleagues in your lab.
Mentor.
Your mentor. Who else?
Friends.
Your friends, yes, thank you. I always wait for somebody to say, somebody who I don't do work with. Yes. Sometimes those people who you don't do work with can be the people who help you.
Family.
Your family, yeah. Your family's another great example of that. What was that?
Competitors.
Your competitors. Yes. Hopefully they will help you out. And I like the example of family, and I always like to tell this story. Lori Conlon, who works at the postdoc office, runs the postdoc office for the NIH, always tells this story about when she wanted to find out more about a particular biotech company in Michigan, which is where her family was at the time. But she didn't really have any contacts in that company. She didn't really have that many contacts in Michigan other than her family. But she really wanted to find somebody working in this company. And the person who was able to make that connection was her sister-in-law, who was a paralegal. Right? And you don't normally say, I'm going to ask the paralegal for a contact in the biotech company. But you never know who it is who's going to have that connection. And so thinking about people like our friends and family and how they might be able to help us, find the sorts of people we're looking to talk to can be valuable. The other thing, group of people I like to think about being in our network is the people who have left our labs. So the people who graduated or finished their postdocs, hopefully they took an interesting job. Right? So talk to them, figure out what they're doing. What about what sorts of things do you do to increase the size of your network?
Conferences.
Yes, we're going to talk a lot about conferences today because that's the number one thing we do, right, is go to conferences. And that's what everybody says. You go to a conference to network. And if you're like me, that's like, oh, I really just want to listen to the sessions and not talk to anybody. But we'll talk about how to talk to people and make it less painful.
Collaborate.
Collaborate, yeah. That's how you build a network, is just going about your science. LinkedIn, yes. We'll talk about LinkedIn, too. If you're not on LinkedIn, I strongly think you should be. Like, seminars.
Friends of friends.
Yeah, just going about your daily life. You meet people, right? And you never know how you're going to meet people. Last summer, I had jury duty. And you don't normally go to jury duty saying, I'm going to network, right? And so anyways, it was a three-day trial. We were going to be there for quite a while. First day, we went out to lunch, and I got in the elevator, and this woman said, where are you going to eat? I said, I don't know, wherever you eat. So we went to lunch together. Well, it turned out she was a past president of the American Society for Microbiology and is a professor at the Uniformed Services University of the Health Sciences, which is just down the road from us in Bethesda, Maryland. And I said, I give professional development talks. Do your grad students need some help? So there you go. I gave her a card. I've gone to use this a couple times and gone given talks now. So you don't normally expect to go to jury duty again to make professional connections, but you never know when in your daily life those kinds of things are going to happen. So what about, why do you care about your network?
You want to get a job.
Yeah, that's the number one reason. We all want a job, and we've all heard that networking is the way to get a job. And that's a little scary, but we're going to think about networking because we want a job. Why else?
You want to get a better job.
Want a better job, maybe, than the one you have. That's it. That's the only reason we care. We just want to use and abuse people to find job openings. Yeah.
You want to stay connected so you know what other people are doing also.
Yeah, absolutely. Knowing what other people are doing, not only what they're doing maybe in terms of where they're working, but the kinds of research they're doing, so you can stay on top of your field.
Maintain your sanity outside the lab.
Yes, maintain your sanity outside the lab. I like that one. Yeah, find people to collaborate with who are competent. Is that what you called them? Okay, how about, how do you feel about networking? Does anybody love networking? Okay, so we've got a few hands. Go talk to those people afterwards. Okay, so the rest of you, I assume, don't like networking. Somebody over here, I heard go, ugh. So why don't we like networking?
We're scientists.
We're scientists. It feels slimy, because we just said we're only looking for jobs, and that's the only reason we want to talk to people. Of course that feels slimy. You know, the reality is hopefully you're going to help out these people you meet as well. What else? They're strangers. Yeah, it's kind of, it's hard to walk up to somebody and start a conversation. A lot of times when I give this talk, people will say, well, networking's easy for you. You're clearly not shy. I'm standing up here with the comfort of a podium and slides. But if I have to walk up to somebody and just say, hi, my name's Brianna, yeah, I get that same shyness, too. It's hard to actually walk up to somebody and start a conversation. Any other thoughts about how we feel about networking? Okay, well, I hope today we're going to talk about some ways to make networking a little bit less uncomfortable, because I think a lot of us don't like it. And I think the reality is, when we're talking about networking, we're really just talking about meeting people and building relationships. And I think if you get rid of that fancy buzzword and talk about meeting people and building relationships, that's a lot less scary. And I think we've all had the experience where you meet somebody and you have a fun conversation with them. Right? Has anybody not had that experience? No? Okay, good. So really, it can be fun, right? And I think just reframing it and having a little bit more of a positive attitude sometimes I think can help. So we've got some comics in here from PhD Comics, and this is Mike talking to his wife. Don't worry, finding a job is all about networking. Who you know, who they know, who knows them, who knows that they know that you know them. Right now I have my entire network of contacts working overtime to get me employed. Well, my cousin has a hardware store in Mexico. Does he need a PhD? They do need a manure salesman. All right. So hopefully your networking is a little bit more productive than that. So we're going to talk a little bit more about what networking is. We're going to talk a little bit about getting ready to network before we go to an event. And then we're going to talk about networking in a couple different instances. We'll talk about conferences, informational interviews, and then social networking sites. So again, and we kind of have covered most of what's on this slide, we're talking about networking in a lot of different contexts. It's not just about people we may know in our professional lives. It's about our personal lives as well. Sometimes we do it with different strategies. Sometimes it just happens in our daily lives. Sometimes we're explicitly looking for people, maybe because we want to learn more about a certain research technique, maybe we want to learn about a certain company. And again, it's not just about our professional contacts. It's a really broad term. Really, all we're talking about is meeting people and building relationships. I really like this quote from this guy, Keith Ferrazzi, and he's a bit of a networking guru. And he wrote this book, Never Eat Alone, the idea being that you're always so busy networking that you eat every meal with somebody else because you're networking. So he says, connecting with others really just involves having a predetermined plan and carrying it out, whether you want to be a ninth grade history teacher or start your own business. And I like this for two reasons. The first is that sometimes when you're having a really bad day and you know you need to go network, it's really easy to say, gosh, if I only had chosen a different career, if I wasn't a scientist, I wouldn't have to network. So I like the fact that he's saying, you know, no matter what you're doing, you're going to have to go talk to people at some point. I also like this idea about a predetermined plan. And it takes me back to Psych 101. So probably most of us remember learning about the idea of schemas, right? So the idea of a schema is that you have an idea for how something's carried out, a basic framework for how something works. So we all pretty much have a schema, for example, for what's going to happen when we walk into a restaurant. What happens when you walk into a restaurant? Okay, you guys have never been to a restaurant. What happens when you walk into a restaurant? You're seated. Yeah, they ask you how many people. You're seated. Then what? They give you a menu. You get your drinks. Okay, we know how this goes. They're going to ask us what we want. Generally, we feel okay telling them how many people are in our party and ordering our menu, our dinner, right? For most of us, it's not an anxiety-inducing endeavor. I'll admit it was hard for me when I was 12, but I've gotten over that. I have successfully ordered my own meal in the last week. But, you know, we know how it's going to go. We know the sorts of things we're going to talk about, the prompts we're going to be given, and so it's not so hard. And so if we think about networking in the same way, and we think a little bit more about what sorts of questions might I ask people, how do I walk up to somebody and start a conversation, that's going to make the process a little bit easier. So that's some of what we're going to do today. So before you go out and network, I think there's a few things that might can help you. You know, if you're going to that big event or you're trying to think about meeting people, the first thing is step back and think about why you want to network. Are you trying to get a job? Are you trying to learn more about certain job options? Are you trying to maybe find collaborators, learn about a new research field? Why are you trying to meet people? At some point, you might have an idea of some event you're going to go to. Beforehand, do a lot of research. Figure out who's going to be at that event. If there's certain people you want to connect with, figure out what sessions they might go to so that you can accidentally bump into them. You might even Google image search some particularly interesting people so that when you spot them across the room, you know that that's the person you want to meet. You might also do a little research so you know some idea of what you might ask that person a question about. I happen to know that you did your graduate work at Vanderbilt. Well, I did too. Let's talk about Nashville, right? So, you know, kind of brainstorming some questions. What sorts of things might you ask people that would help you learn about the sorts of things you want to learn about? The other thing you might do before you walk into an event is set some goals. And you can do this in a variety of ways. One way you might do it is saying, there's certain people I want to meet, this big shot and that big shot. I want to talk to them, exchange business cards, and making sure you do that while you're at the event. Another way you might set a goal is just, I'm going to get 5 business cards from 5 people I don't know. And yes, it is kind of artificial, but it helps give you a little bit of an incentive. I said I was going to do this, I'm going to do it. To help you get through the event and actually talk to people instead of standing along the sides. I also think it's a good idea before you step out to that event, just think for just a minute about networking and manners. And earlier somebody said, well, it feels sleazy and that's why we don't like to network. The reality is people in general like to help other people. So when you go up and start chatting with somebody and ask them a question, it doesn't feel so sleazy to that person. They'd like to help you and chat with you. Yeah, at the same time, you're never going to put people on the spot. So as much as I might want to help you, the one thing you're never going to ask me during a networking interaction is, do you have a job for me? Right? There are much nicer ways to ask that. I'm looking for a job. Do you happen to know of anything? You know, and no, I don't know of anything. It's a lot easier to say than, no, I don't have a job for you. And the other thing you want to keep in mind when you're at any sort of event talking to people or when you're doing an informational interview with somebody is being mindful of their time. So no, they don't mind helping you, but if there's a big networking reception going on, they probably want to talk to more than one person. So talk to them, get the information you want, exchange business cards, and go talk to somebody else. With any networking interaction, you want to seem friendly and collegial. You want this person to think, you're the kind of person I'd like to have in my company. You're the kind of person I would like to spend time with during the workday, or I'd like to recommend to my colleague because you seem like a good person to be around. The other thing I like to say about networking and manners, particularly because it does feel so uncomfortable to so many of us, is stand back and watch other people. How do other people start a conversation? What sorts of things do they say? At a breakfast like this, when you're trying to decide what table to sit at, what do you say when you sit down? You know, figuring out, watching what other people do can help make that a little bit easier. At the same time, if somebody's rude to you, I always say never take that personally. You don't know if that person's a jerk. You don't know if that person has a big stressful thing going on in their personal life. So sometimes people are rude. It probably has nothing to do with you and something to do with themselves. The other thing to think about when you're talking to somebody is always give them a hook. Why should they want to help you? What do you have in common? Is it that you know somebody in common, you have a similar background, you're interested in a similar research topic? Give them a little bit of a what's in it for me kind of a thing. So I said we'd start by talking about networking and conferences. And again, everybody says this is why we go to conferences, to network. And there are all kinds of great places to network. You know, there are the breaks at a conference. You know, and instead of doing the avoiding making eye contact with people and running off to the bathroom or looking really intensely at your notes or your cell phone, you can actually use that time to talk to people. And it doesn't have to be anything complicated. Just turning to the person next to you and saying, that was an interesting session. I liked what he said about X, Y, or Z. You know, generally the other person will respond instead of looking at you like you're a crazy person. So breaks are a really good time to do that. You can go up and speak to the speaker afterwards. They said something interesting. People really like to have people ask them questions afterwards. It makes them feel like they probably gave an interesting talk if it sparked ideas for you. So breaks are a great time. Receptions. That's why we go to receptions, right, is to go meet people. But a lot of times we walk in with our buddies, and we talk to our buddies the whole night long. We'll talk to people you don't know at the receptions. Poster sessions are a great time to network as well. If you're not giving a poster, there are a whole bunch of people standing captive waiting for you to come talk to them. Go talk to them, ask them about their research, maybe ask them about where they work if they work somewhere interesting. At the same time, if you're giving a poster, use that opportunity to ask the people who come up to talk to you about themselves. The other thing, while you're at a conference, you're probably going to eat dinner at some point. Make use of that time. If you talk to somebody interesting during the day, ask them, do you have dinner plans tonight? I'd like to talk to you some more. You can even schedule those before you go to the conference if you know there are people that you want to connect with while you're there. The other thing, sometimes you'll see meetings that have other activities involved. There's an article on our website about a woman who was at a conference and there was a canoe trip. And you don't see this kind of thing so often, but if you do, here's what she had to say about it. She ended up getting on her canoe trip and she was in a canoe with a big shot. And so there they were all day, I don't know, a couple hours on their canoe trip. She was talking to him about science. They had a really great interaction. And now she always has that connection where she can write back and say, hey, do you remember me? We canoed together at that meeting. They had a meaningful conversation, and it was relaxed because it wasn't in that kind of high-pressure environment of the conference. So it might be something to look out for, those kind of side activities. So a couple things that can make networking a little bit easier at a conference. I always kind of try and think of reasons to talk to people. So during a session, I might be writing down questions I want to ask the speaker, questions I could ask the person next to me, but thinking about planning my networking, paying attention to the session, and planning my networking for the next break. The other thing, when you start a conversation with somebody, ask questions. If you ask questions, it guides the conversation along. Versus if you just say a statement, sometimes it can kind of kill the conversation and nobody knows quite what to say next. So asking questions can help move it along. But the other thing is asking questions make you seem like such an interesting person because there's nothing we like to talk about more than ourselves. The other thing is really use name badges. Name badges can be great conversation starters for several reasons. You know, you can say something, you can ask a question about the university they're at, whether it's a university you know somebody at, you know nothing about. I've always wanted to know more about Vanderbilt. Where is it located? You know, whatever. You can use that as a conversation starter. And it doesn't have to be particularly profound. I have started a conversation before with, I once had a friend with that last name. Right? Okay, it was a really dumb line. But he said something back. And he was like, oh, really? I think that's about all he said. And then I said, well, I guess that was a dumb line. But yes, I did it. And then we talked about something else. The conversation went elsewhere. So it was just that first thing to say out of your mouth, and it got the conversation going. So never be worried that you're using the dumbest opening line, because I think I have claims on that one. The other thing, if you're going to a meeting, think about using the buddy system. You know, some of us are lucky enough that our advisor will take us around and introduce us to people. That's really great if you have that. Several of us don't. If you don't, find another grad student or postdoc who will walk around and meet people with you. The important thing to do is, even if you are using that buddy system, you have to talk to people you don't know. Right? That's the whole reason we're trying to network. The other thing I like to do before I actually walk up to somebody, I think a little bit about my opening line. So if I see that person across the room who I really wanted to connect with while I was there at that meeting, I think about what I'm going to say before I walk up to them. Maybe I write it down if I'm in that session so I can think a little bit more about it. Maybe I just say it in my head so that it actually comes out smoothly when I try and say it. So the other thing that I think can be really awkward at meetings is we have to start conversations with people. So what's a good strategy for starting a conversation with somebody if you go into a networking reception? You guys were all talking earlier, so I know you know how to start conversations. Just walk up and introduce yourself. Somebody else said something. Give a compliment. That's a nice thing to start with. You know, if somebody else is sitting there staring off into space, sitting alone at a table, standing alone, they would probably love it if you walked up to them and said hello. They probably feel really awkward. So that could be a good person to start a conversation with. What if you walk into a room and there's a whole bunch of groups of people already talking? How do you nudge your way into one of those conversations? You just stare at them. That's a good one. If you know somebody, walk up to them and say hi. They'll probably say, oh, hi, and bring you into the conversation. Any other ideas? Generally, I would look for a circle of people who maybe look like they're getting to know each other. So don't walk up to the circle of people who are clapping themselves on the back, talking about 20 years ago when we were in grad school. That's going to be a hard conversation to relate to. Find the group of people who look like they're getting to know each other and just go stand by them and make eye contact. Okay? And generally, they'll kind of open up the circle. Now, the thing here is you have to say something, right? Because otherwise, you're just that creepy person standing there staring at them. So, you know, join in the conversation. Say, I had a similar experience, whatever. But join in the conversation at some point, and then generally, you're good. You're in the conversation. How about you've been talking to people and now you want to exit the conversation and talk to somebody else? What's a good way to get out of a conversation with somebody you're done talking to?
Nice to meet you.
It was nice to meet you. Here's a business card. Yeah. Somebody over here said something else.
Restroom.
Okay. You might be delicate about that. It would be nicer to say, I need to get a drink. It was nice talking to you, than I'm going to use the restroom. But I'm trying to think of a polite way to word the restroom thing, but yes, just excusing yourself, saying it was nice to talk to you, I've got to attend to something else. Does anybody have any other ideas on leaving a conversation? Thanks for taking the time to talk to me, yeah. You know, if you know somebody else in the room you think they'd like to talk to, you can say, hey, have you met my buddy Joe? I think he would have X, Y, or Z in common. Of course, if the person's a real dud that you didn't enjoy talking to, don't stick them on your friend. The other thing I like to say at receptions is you should always have a free hand. So I've got to shake your hand, I've got a food and drink, and I want to pass out business cards. I'm going to spill all over people, okay? I am not that coordinated, and kudos to you if you are. So always have a free hand. What I mean by that is you only get food or drink at any given time. So that also gives you a nice excuse to leave an interaction. I just finished my food, now I need something to drink. The other thing I think you should do before you walk into any kind of networking reception is think a little bit about your handshake. What makes a good handshake? Firm. Eye contact, yes. Smiling. Dry, yes. We can all discreetly wipe our hand on our pants before we shake somebody's hand. What else makes a good handshake? What makes a bad handshake? Too what was that? Too close. Yeah, don't get that's a good one. Too long. Yes, 1 to 2 pumps, and we are done. I also don't like the two-hand grab.
There are cultural issues there that you need to be aware, especially with people who are not from this country. They may not be aware of that, so don't be too firm. I wouldn't say much about it. It can be very cultural.
You're right. It absolutely can be a cultural thing. Particularly, we're very big on the handshake in the U.S. It's one of the ways we like to give our first introduction to people. And I know particularly for people coming from other cultures, it can be a foreign thing. And be mindful of that. And I like that you brought up the too firm, because you do get that, like, hand crusher sometimes, right? That's not fun for anybody. So what I'd like to do, take a second now and just shake the hand of the person next to you and ask them how your handshake was. Okay, I'm not going to let you shake hands for too long so we can move it along. Did you get some good handshakes? Did anybody get a really bad handshake? So what I want you to do, when you go home tonight, find your spouse, find your mother, find your friend. Shake their hand and get their opinion. You know, they'll give you a more honest opinion than the nice person you're sitting next to now. The other thing you might want to do before you go to a big meeting, if you're going to the annual meeting in your field that only happens once a year, go to a regional event, a smaller event first, so you can practice having these sorts of interactions. So when you walk into that really important event, you feel a little bit more relaxed. Other people say that practicing public speaking and extemporaneous speaking can help them with networking. So you might check out a group like Toastmasters. It is a group that does a lot of public speaking and extemporaneous speaking exercises that people say helps them with this kind of thing. The other thing, whenever I meet somebody, the last thing I always say to them is, who else should I talk to? If I had an interesting conversation with this person and they have an interesting job, they probably know other interesting people to introduce me to. So here's another one of our comics. Let's do some one-on-ones now. Tell us about your research, and remember, this is for a lay audience. Well, our research explores automation techniques for detection of multivariable. That's too long. We automate procedures for design tools that... too complicated. Automate? So robots then? And I put this one in there because when we're networking, we're going to talk to people about our research. And how you talk about your research to whoever you're talking to should vary based on who that person is. So thinking about how we talk about our research, A, to make sure that the person that we're talking to understands what it is, and B, so that it actually sounds interesting. So we're going to talk for a second about elevator pitches. You know, and the idea of an elevator pitch is that if you're stuck in the elevator with that really important person, and you've got the length of that elevator ride to tell that person who you are and why they should care, that they know by the end of the elevator ride. So if you're stuck in the elevator with Francis Collins, you're going to tell him enough about yourself that he cares when you get out. So it's a really brief introduction to yourself. The idea being, if you've thought about this a little bit when you're at that event introducing yourself to people, you know what to say. So generally, you want to include your name, maybe the institution you're at. Maybe you'll say something about whether you're looking for a job. You'll probably say something about your research, not only what research you do, but why it's important. Why do people study what you study? What impacts does that have? Generally, I like to say that even though this is a prepared statement, when you say it, you want to sound like you're actually enthused and care about it, right? Rather than it's some rehearsed statement, because we all have that rehearsed statement about our research, right? So when I was in graduate school, somebody would ask me about my research, I would say, well, I study dual career couples, and I said it pretty much with that tone of voice, like it was the least interesting thing I'd ever heard. So actually sound engaged when you introduce yourself to people. And you want to have different versions. So if you introduce yourself to me, I'm a social scientist. Most of you are biomedical scientists. You're probably going to introduce yourself to me differently than you would to somebody in your own research field, because I don't actually necessarily understand the sort of science that you do. So when you're introducing yourself to somebody, if you don't know how much they would know to tell them about your research, you can say, how familiar are you with protein crystallography? And if they say, well, that's what I do, you give them a different introduction than if they say, huh? Right? So in the interest of time, we're not going to practice elevator pitches now. I normally have people practice these. But think about it. Think about how you'd introduce yourself so that when you are talking to people throughout the rest of the day, because you'll have plenty of opportunities for that, you know what you want to tell people about yourself. You can quiz people on it later. Business cards in graduate school and why you need them. Pretending you have a real job. That's right, I have a fax number. Grad student's a job title? Give your parents something to hold on to until you graduate. I have no idea what my son does, but his name is next to a logo on this tiny piece of cardstock. That one time at that one conference when you need them, please take one I had 700 made. And mainly entering free lunch contests. So if you don't have business cards, I really think you should. So hence my first bullet point, make some business cards. You may be able to make them on campus for a relatively inexpensive amount. When I was in graduate school, you'd get more than you were going to ever use for like $30. If you don't want to spend that money, you can print them online for cheap. There are websites like VistaPrint that will print them for a few dollars. You can get a pack of paper at Staples that you run through the printer. A pack of paper is like $10. You can split it with a couple people, and you can print business cards. If you print them yourselves, you can make them look just like a university business card would look like, although I am not telling you to break copyright laws by copying and pasting logos. But, you know, there's nothing worse than having a nice conversation with somebody, and at the end they say, it was really interesting talking to you. Can I have your business card? And you go, well, I'm just a grad student, so I don't have business cards. Like, come on, you know, let's be professionals. You know, the other thing I like to think about a business card is it's like a souvenir from a conversation. You hand me a business card, I get to walk away from that conversation with that souvenir. At some point, I'm going to get home, empty my pockets, pull it out, and think about you again. And it may be that I pull it out and think about you again and say, you know who I've really got to introduce her to? Or whatever. This is the thing I forgot to tell her. So it's never a bad idea for somebody to be able to walk away from an interaction with you with your contact information. And I just saw somebody exchanging business cards. That made me so happy. Thank you. Okay, so once you've made them, the other trick is to then carry them with you. Because how many times have you had that interaction where then people say, I don't have my business cards with me. So I have a business card holder that goes in every professional bag I have. If I'm going to a professional event, I have my business card holder. It has business cards in it. I also always have an extra stack in case I use up all the ones in my business card holder. I was at a conference once, and I was talking to two very interesting women, and I had one business card left. So the whole time I was sitting there thinking, which one of them am I going to give the card to? I think at the end I actually just said I only have one left, and they worked it out amongst themselves. I also always have some in my wallet, because if all else fails, if I forget my business card holder, if I'm using a different bag than I normally use, I will have my wallet with me. You know, you never know when you're going to run into somebody. I always think of Stacey and Clinton from What Not to Wear, and they talk about dressing professionally because you never know who you're going to run into. Well, you never know who you're going to run into and when you're going to want a business card, but I always have my wallet with me. The other thing, then, is to pass them out. And I think sometimes that seems tricky to people. But it doesn't have to be anything more than, it was nice to meet you, here's my business card. Generally, that's the cue the other person will give you theirs. If they don't offer it, you can say, I'd love to have one of yours as well. You can say something like, I'd love to hear more about that paper you were talking about, here's my business card. The other thing, when you're at an event, keep them accessible. So I always keep my business cards in my right pocket so that I can hand them out to people. I don't have to say, excuse me, I've got to go dig through my bag and get my business cards out. And then when somebody hands me their business card, I look at it for a second to show that I'm appreciative that they handed it to me. And then I put it in my left pocket so that when I am giving people business cards, I'm always giving them my business card. I have had that happen before when I got home from the toxicology meeting this past March, and I had a card from somebody from Bristol-Myers Squibb, and I know I didn't talk to anybody from Bristol-Myers Squibb, but I talked to that lovely lady from the University of Utah. I don't know who she was because she gave me somebody else's card. The other thing I do, once I get back to my hotel room that night, I take all the cards out, I flip them over to the back, I write the date, the name of the event that I was at, and something that we talked about. So when I follow up with them, I remember who this person was. So make notes about your new contacts, and then follow up with them after you've met. So once you go home, just shoot the people you've met a quick email. It was nice to meet you. If you said you'd follow up about anything else, do it in the context of that email as well. Then periodically, you want to keep up with the people in your network, whether that's dropping them a note when you see an article that reminds you of them, whether that's somebody I know spams everybody in his email list every time he publishes a new article. I don't know how great that is to keep up with people in your network, but if they're people you really want to have a relationship with, you've got to periodically keep up with them. Otherwise, they're just people you met at a conference once. The other thing you might do to network, we talk a little bit about informational interviews, is doing this. So has anybody done an informational interview before? See a couple hands. So the name comes from the idea that it's an interview to gain information. It's a big fancy name, which basically means you sit down with people and talk to them. But setting up a time to learn to talk to somebody and interview them about their career, for example, it's a great way to learn more about career options and expand your network. So you've learned a lot about career options at this meeting. You probably have a couple you want to follow up with. Find a couple people in that field, and you can find them in a variety of ways we'll talk about in a second, and just ask them for a few minutes to sit down and chat with you. So good ways to find people are talking to people you already know. I really want to learn more about being a medical science liaison. Do you know anybody that does that? You can also go on LinkedIn. Once you're on LinkedIn, you can find people you don't know. So on LinkedIn, it's really easy to search through your contacts. So if you're connected to me on LinkedIn and I'm connected to a woman who's a medical science liaison, you can say, hey, Brianna, will you make that introduction to me for me so I can talk to her about her job? The other way you can meet people on LinkedIn is once you join groups, you can email other people in those same groups. So joining groups of, and there are professional groups on there for things like that. There are alumni groups for your universities, professional societies, all kinds of things. So thinking about joining those is a way to meet people as well. Basically, if you're going to do an informational interview, just ask for a few minutes of people's time. Again, they'll generally agree because people like to help people. And once you get there, you want to prepare ahead of time in terms of thinking of some good open-ended questions to ask them. And ask those open-ended questions. Generally, you want to make sure you're minding your manners, like any networking interaction. And again, asking, who else should I talk to? And again, following up afterwards. And this time, you're following up with a thank you note because you want to express your appreciation for their time. So I'm not going to read this to you, but the sorts of questions you might think about asking. The thing that I think is particularly important as we're talking about careers outside of the typical research world is how would I find a job in your line of work? Because it's not always clear where certain jobs would be advertised. How am I doing on time? Wrap it up? Okay. Okay. So I didn't talk about LinkedIn too much, but it's a great thing to get on to meet people and also stay connected and organize contact information for people you already know. Oh, look, I was at the end anyway. So we've talked about places we can build our professional networks and some skills and techniques we can use in terms of things like handshakes and elevator pitches. So I think that the important thing to remember is networking doesn't have to be hard or scary. We're really just talking about meeting people, something we've done our whole lives. The more you do it, the easier it gets. And it's okay to make mistakes. If you say something stupid, just laugh it off, move on. You know, and over time you become better connected, your network grows, it becomes easier. So I'll stop there and just some resources on our website as well. Thanks.
All right, we have time for maybe a quick question or two for Brianna. Anyone?
In general, I think an email is probably good. The one time I would really send a hard copy of a thank you note is if I was interviewing for a job. That hard copy of a thank you note is going to stand out a lot more than an email. Of course, it takes a couple more days to get there, but generally that's not a problem.
Saw another one maybe over here somewhere. Good.
So when you follow up, do you recommend following up on email, LinkedIn, phone call?
I think either email or LinkedIn. If you're on LinkedIn, following up on there is a great way to do it because then you form the connection on there and then they're part of your network. The other thing about following up on LinkedIn is that once you're on LinkedIn, you get these like weekly updates of everybody in your network and what they're doing and if they've changed jobs or whatever they've changed on their profile. And that's kind of a passive way to keep up with people. If you change your LinkedIn profile, then everybody in your network knows the next week.
Great. Well, Brandon will be at the professional school sessions. If you have any other questions, feel free to find her. Please join me in thanking her one more time. Thank you. And then I'm going to call up Kim Petrie to close our morning sessions.
Well, thank you all for coming. And thank you, Brianna. That was a wonderful talk. I'm just going to say a few mostly housekeeping items before I introduce Roger, just to close things up. First of all, thank you again to all of our speakers, our local guests and companies who came, the National Postdoc Association, the Tennessee Biotechnology Association, VMAA, the training grant programs here at Vanderbilt. Those are the people who made this event possible. And please, again, let's just give one final round of applause for all those people. And also special acknowledgement to the Senior Associate Dean for Biomedical Research, Education, and Training, Roger Chalkley. Roger cares very deeply about the training of the graduate students and postdocs, and it is thanks to him that this whole event is even here. He initiated this now I think 12 years ago. This is the fourth time we've done this, and it's grown every year, and it's really thanks to Roger that we're able to do this. So thank you, Roger. These quick housekeeping items, we're going to now move over to Light Hall. All of you should have gotten assignments for 3 professional skills sessions if you registered in advance. You should have gotten those either by email or in your folders yesterday. If you don't have a copy of those assignments with you, there is a folder out at the registration desk, and Diane Manis will help get you your professional skills session assignments. If you did not register in advance, 2 of the sessions, creative job searching, which will be in 208 Light Hall, and academic interviewing, which will be in 202 Light Hall, are in larger lecture rooms, and there are plenty of spaces available in all 3 professional skills sessions. Please feel free to go to either of those. The other sessions are full. If you did not register in advance or for some reason you feel really strongly you want to go to one of those sessions, what I would ask is that when you go, the room numbers are listed in your programs. If you go, please just kind of hang out at the back of the room until the session is either close to starting or has started, and feel free to take a seat if there is one. And if there isn't, I'd ask you just to try a different room or go to one of the other sessions, creative job searching or academic interviewing, so that the people who did register in advance and were assigned to those sessions are able to join in and watch. And I think if you are not from Vanderbilt, follow the crowd. They will get you over to Light Hall. And following those professional skills sessions, I'll remind you, is the NPA lunch and the discussions about postdoctoral training. With that, I'll hand it over to Roger for some closing remarks.
Well, good morning. I'm a pretty hard-bitten guy and don't show a lot of emotion. In fact, I haven't cried once since the movie that I saw, Wuthering Heights, when I was about 16 years old, and I was just roaring my head off. But I must say, I almost shed a tear when I came in this morning and saw everybody talking up a storm, interacting, and the whole room was absolutely full. That, for me, was the reward for all of our efforts in putting this program together. And so you don't have to applaud or anything like that. Just merely being here and doing that was ample reward for me, and I know from talking also to Kim. I would add one final comment, which is we've been planning this for a long time. We started off by looking at the reports from the previous meeting, and one of the things that the participants at that meeting had asked for, after commenting on the excellent talks, they said they wanted more time to interact with one another, to interact with the speakers. And so we reflected that in putting this presentation together this last day and a half. There will be another survey, and what I would really, really ask you to do is to fill out the survey, particularly the narrative parts where it asks if you've got any extra suggestions. Because it may seem like you're casting your survey into a black hole, but you're not. We will take note of what is said. And if a significant number of people say they would like X, Y, or Z, or like less of something else, then we are very sensitive to those issues, and we will respond to your advice and your suggestions. And so with that, there's still more to come. I leave you here and ask you to enjoy the rest of the day, and thanks for participating.